this is Rajan Matthews, and I'm the Director General of COAI.
And hello, this is Karthik Malhotra. Mr. Matthews, thank you so much for taking time out and joining us from your home. We're all working from home, and we're all working from home thanks to the telecom industry making it possible for us to collaborate and connect and communicate with each other. So your role and the role of telecom players at a time like this can definitely not be undermined. But Mr. Matthews, let me start by asking you about the news that came in about the Facebook and Jio partnership. What would it mean for Kirana stores? And at some level, it seems like the Kirana stores and e-commerce and telecom is all converging into one. So what would it mean for the Kirana stores, and what would it mean for customers like you and me when it comes to this partnership?
The Kirana stores are kind of the cornerstone for our commerce. We can't ignore the vital role that they play. And especially when you look at the last mile, the delivery issues in terms of what happens, there's a certain trust factor that has developed over the years. So I think what happens with regard to the Jio and the Facebook integration is the ability to bring these folks on into the online environment, which is going to be absolutely critical, as you just mentioned, in this time period of COVID, when there is this whole quarantine period. Being online and being able to transact online is absolutely critical and essential. And I think that's the good news story here. By bringing this integral part of our economy into the integrated online connected world, I think this would be a great initiative going forward.
Right, Mr. Matthews. I just want to pick your brains on what are some of the conversations you're picking up from the telecom operators. Because the telecom industry seems to be COVID-proof in some sense. Everybody is working from home, connecting from home. So has there been a rise in ARPUs, and what is the kind of pressure that is being put on the available spectrum and broadband right now?
So very clearly, Karthik, when the whole quarantine move and the work from home environment started, we saw a spike on our networks of some 30% or so. That has subsequently normalized to a more sort of evened out usage pattern, which shows that now we see about a 15% increase above what was normally expected above the pre-COVID time frame. So fortunately, that is continuing to be managed by our networks. So a couple of things that took place, obviously, was we found that this load factor on our networks happened as a result of the extreme use of streaming services. And obviously the content is heavy, it is real time, it is extensive. And so what we had to do initially is work with the DOT to bring down the pressure on our networks moving from HD to SD. So that was one of the things that helped. The second thing that we did that helped quite a bit was working with the DOT and looking with the local municipalities to bring more of our cell towers online. We've been having some problems and challenges in terms of shutting down our cell towers for various reasons. Principally having to do with money claims and some such. So we had approximately 800 to 900 what we call base stations that were offline. And because of the ability to bring all of those on, so we were able to reduce that from 800 to 900 to 70. That's the second thing that helped. The third thing, obviously, was because of the reduction in road work and the construction work, the fiber cuts that used to at one point average about 100 a day came down to about 7 to 8 a day.
Right. You also spoke about OTT platforms and you having worked with the DOT and the OTT platforms to make the shift from high definition to standard definition. Isn't that at some way also a breach of contract with the customer who's possibly paid the entire subscription for a high definition output?
That's a possibility, but one of the things that obviously we understand is that we are not dealing with normal times and we are dealing with times of intense pressure and in terms of making sure that our networks stay up for the benefit of all customers. And so it is possible that there have been some instances where contractual language stipulates that you are paying a little bit of a higher amount for high definition. But by and large, we did not see any major complaints coming from customers, nor did we see a significant degradation in the quality of the pictures.
The DTH services are part of the essential services, Mr. Matthews. But for some reason, the telecom services, especially topping up or recharging your prepaid connections, does not seem to feature any essential services, and the shops that offer such services are not open at the moment. Do you think there is understandable logic in this proposition?
Initial phase, Karthik, yes, the retail recharge locations were not open because, again, the protocols in terms of distancing. Right. Now, as that has been moved forward into the next phase and a little bit loosened up, the new requirements and regulations issued by the Home Ministry as recently as 2 days ago has specified that state by state, based on the particular needs and the requirements and whether there is a hotspot or the length of quarantine and the areas, you are allowed to open up these retail spots for recharge purposes. And I think they are doing this under the acknowledgement that this is an essential service.
So, Mr. Matthews, how much better would we have been had we gone ahead with the 5G rollout and not deferred it? And now with this pandemic, how much further delay can we expect before 5G comes to India?
The first point that we want to make is that, yes, we do see plenty of opportunity for 5G, and our operators have not waited for the full Monty, as they say, to roll in. We have been working with the government. The government has set up a specialized committee to look at some of the early areas. It's all been going on. And as you will notice, the test beds have been opened up. We've opened up those in various locations so that people who are developing applications can test their particular applications for ultimate integration. The government of India has identified areas which are of high need in India. So the problem that we face with the Indian condition is the very high price that is being recommended by DoT being accepting of those recommendations is the fact that this is for 4 to 5 times, not just percentage, times what equivalent spectrum is being paid for internationally. We pay international pricing for our equipment. It's not as if our equipment is sold to at a cheaper rate because we depend, unfortunately, on a large part for the equipment that comes from abroad. So 3 to 4 times international pricing for spectrum. We pay international pricing for our equipment, which is the other component of our networks. And then when you look at the ARPU, which is the rate of return for the operators, the average ARPU in international circles is about $75. For us, if we get $3, that's considered a luxury.
So since you did mention about equipment and equipment coming from abroad, that brings me to my last question, Mr. Matthews. Do you think now with some sort of a mistrust on China, there is an opportunity for India to become the factory of the future, especially when it comes to manufacturing of telecom equipment?
I think we must cooperate with China when it's appropriate and necessary, and if we need to take adequate precautions when we see certain risks, we should do so. I think we have to be on the watch with all countries and make sure that the interests of our country are taken care of in that context. Now, getting back to the point that you raised, Karthik, I think whether it is China or whether it's pre-post-COVID, the fundamental issue of ensuring adequate resources in terms of manufactured equipment within the country is absolutely essential. I think that goes without saying. But that being said, we have also to say, let's look at the component pieces of this. When you look at electronics, all right, the software is becoming increasingly vital and the nexus of value as we go forward. So if we are to truly make a dent in terms of what we call domestic manufacturing, the focus must be on the design of our chipsets, all right, the software development and the application. 5G is going to be, you know, an all data network, and on data networks, you know, software is king. The other area that we must also look at in this context is quantum computing and quantum communications. This is the new frontier. Right. We're talking about 5G. Again, with this development, we have to look at these emerging areas and not just worry about pure quote-unquote manufacturing.
Rajan Matthews, thank you so much for your insights, and thank you so much for joining us on this cast.